Hello and welcome to the fourth episode of the Divine Sovereign Beings podcast. Would you like to bring us in?
I would like to gong us in.
Gong us in, babe.
Let's open the space.
Beautiful.
This is sacred space for all of us to share. Thank you everyone for joining us again. We're excited to jump into this episode. You know, as we do, there's been some drama in the world, and I guess we're going to be talking about some of it, but also some fun stuff, as always. So excited to do this episode again today.
One of the fun things that we're excited to bring you in this podcast is we've got multiple camera angles now.
Yep.
This was something that I had kind of pictured from the beginning with our setup, and it's taken us a few episodes to really nail it down, but it looks like it's working. And I think it's pretty sweet. It's pretty fun.
I'm liking it. It looks beautiful.
I think this is going to be a good episode. We have a lot of really fun things to talk about. Fun, some not so fun, but things that need to be talked about that we have interests in. So... yeah. Do you want to lead us in with our spotlight creator?
All right. So we have another conscious creator to highlight today. Again, thank you so much for all of you who've emailed me and us and want to talk about your own creation on our show, because this is our creation and we want to share this space with the community for the things you're creating. So our beautiful friends, Tyler and Amber, have sent us a gift, which is Ormus, and we are super excited to get to try it because it's a bit of an exciting and new, I would say not really that new, but new to me, a substance which is basically a lot of like really rich minerals, and they are derived, this particular product they work on is derived from the Dead Sea salt, and they talk about how Ormus kind of activates and nurtures the endocrine system, which can also be connected to the chakra system. And each of our chakras also are attached to an endocrine organ. So like your root chakra is your adrenal cortex, and your crown chakra is your pineal gland. And then there's areas in your body in between. So this is meant to nurture those areas. It's meant to really give you the boost that you need. And I tried it the other day. We have the milk, which is right here, but they have a milk and a powder and a topical as well. And I think they even have a couple other things on their website. So we wanted to shout them out because I did try the milk and I put some under my tongue. And I was just reading, I was honestly watching TikToks alone in my room. And all of a sudden, I could feel like in the room, like the lighting around the central focus of my eyes kind of got dim and bright and dim and bright and dim and bright a couple times. And I was like, kind of got a rush. And I didn't take much, but it's not like I was having any other type of experience, but it was physically, I could feel it hit my system and activate my system. And it was really cool. And I'm really enjoying nurturing that part of my body. I feel like a lot of us who are sensitive to energies, like many of you who watch my channel are, we are encouraged and sometimes synchronistically given items and things that are helping to nurture our nervous system and our endocrine system and things like that that are in need of nurturing during these higher energetic times, like when we're dealing with a lot of solar wind and so on. And so it's supposed to continually encourage DNA regeneration and awesome stuff. And it's, you know, Ormus or Mana or Shamana or the Philosopher's Stone or Monoatomic Gold or the M State are all like terms that talk about this type of substance. So super cool, super exciting. You can put it in your plants, you can give it to your pets, you can give it to yourself, and all of the the proper dosages are on the bottle and everything. And we've really been enjoying it. So thank you so much to these beautiful creators who are making this for the community. We really appreciate it. We appreciate getting to try it. And yeah, we'll link their website, which is Pyramana.
Yes. And you can check out their website right here. It's pyramana.com. P-Y-R-A-M-A-N-N-A.
Yes.
Pyramana.
They have an Etsy page. So.
Yes. So you can check out their website. They go into detail about what they're all about, and I really support them. They're great people. And then they've got their stuff on Etsy, and they've got all sorts of great products on there to choose from. So
thank you for putting yourself out there and creating these products for people. It's not always easy to jump into these types of markets and support your family. So we're excited that you've done it and you did it for the service of humanity. And we enjoy trying it. And I'm really grateful to be able to nurture my body with this product. It feels really good.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly.
Yeah. And now we're all perky and happy and we can make an even better podcast. And I could design a new website, which is going to be up very soon. And, you know, we've been busy bees. Seriously. A lot's been going on, which is why this podcast is taking a little longer. But it's going to be really good. I'm super excited to deliver this beautiful package of energy and light that Jason and I are going to make today to you.
Yes.
Of course, I am always excited to do that.
We have a lot of deep things to dive into and investigate and discuss and hold in a space of love and compassion. Because I think that's really important when addressing a lot of these topics, is to hold that space for compassion, not to get too emotionally reactive, to stay back, to be observant, and to connect patterns and form conclusions that...
Or theories.
Or, yeah. Yeah.
I feel like I'm having deja vu watching you say those exact words. That was so funny. Apparently, yes, compassion. We are approaching this with compassion and respect, and we just genuinely want to continue the conversation about these things.
All right, so... Actually, the first thing we want to show you is this cute little shorts that Alexis found called Cute Animated Short Tells the Finnish Myth of Aurora Borealis. Actually, it's called Foxfires, but that was the article title. And I'm not going to play the whole thing with the volume. I'm going to play it on double speed and have the volume down just so you can get an idea of what it is. But we thought this was particularly interesting because, as you may know, we have many, many synchronicities with the name Aurora and with the concept of the Aurora. And it's come into our life for the past 2 years very heavily. Sometimes we would see the word Aurora multiple times a day. It was kind of connected to the concept of hybrid children for us in the beginning, actually. And yeah, what do you want to say about it? What did you think about this?
I loved this little short, and it was in a moment where I was needing a little bit of a pick-me-up and reassurance, and I opened my phone and Facebook, and I see this beautiful little thing that has the title Aurora, so I was like, oh, here it is again, so I clicked on it, and it's so cute, and... Yes, the Aurora synchronicities, we would say, which are coincidences or like common occurrences. Synchronicities, I find, are considered synchronicities because they hit you when you least expect it, and it usually changes your mood and your vibration in that moment when you see that thing. And so for Aurora in particular, when Jason and I got together, we were seeing the term and the word Aurora all the time, and we were going through rough beginnings in a way because we were living in different countries and it was hard. And this synchronicity, we thought maybe it was a child talking to us, and sometimes I still think it is a child talking to us, maybe our future child, but it means so much to so many more people, and we've kept running into other people who have Aurora as a synchronicity. And it's shown me that it's not only just ours, it's so much more, and I believe it might have to do something with even a collective or, a whole collective who is connected in a way to cosmic energy, because when our planet has an aurora, it means that cosmic energy, or mostly solar wind, is gathering in our geomagnetic field and gathering at the poles and creating this light show. And it's extremely magical. And when more of this energy coming in, the more we are going to see the aurora, the more of the earth is going to be encapsulated in the aurora. And, you know, we've also bumped into multiple parents who've just had children and then named them Aurora. So that's a fun little fact if you guys didn't know that about us. But it's, if you know, if you also experience aurora synchronicities, we'd love to hear about them in the comments. And we're just gonna keep rolling with aurora energy and enjoying it, because truly every time we see it, it's a beautiful, heartwarming feeling. And I think that's how people feel when they see the aurora in the sky too. It's really awe-inspiring and you know, magical. And it's really, you know, you can't really compare it to anything else.
Yeah, agreed. And I like that you brought up that synchronicity and emotion are heavily tied together, because to me, that's a really significant factor. I know recently we were having conversations about synchronicity and feedback loops and that kind of thing. And if synchronicity is just from putting something out into the universe multiple times and you're getting that as a feedback loop, but I think the distinction to tell is the emotional feeling that you get behind the pattern that you're observing. And it's a good way to tell if it's a positive or a negative thing too. Like when you see this pattern, whether it's aurora, whether it's 17s or Qs or whatever, what are you feeling when you see it? Does it make you feel down and kind of not so good, or does it make you feel joyous and happy and inspired and like you want to like keep
relieved,
pushing on with your day?
Or that there is some type of spiritual or supernatural connection, or, you know, you're not alone, that there is more to the game, in my opinion. It definitely hits me in moments where I feel like I'm panicking or I'm alone or something bad has happened or I'm not sure and I'm unconfident and I'm kind of losing track of my like spiritual groundedness and certainty that, you know, all is well in the world. And it's definitely a really nice reminder that there is magic out there and I am living on my path as well. It also like helps me know that I'm on my path and that things are going well, because it does. It's that emotional response. Like if it's like, oh God, like if we also see roadkill on the side of the road, yeah, especially when we're in the van a lot, when we were talking and having a really deep conversation, and then we'd bring up a thing and then boom, we drive past like a huge dead animal on the side of the road. And we were always like, what is that? It was very kind of jarring, but it taught us, you know, we're not used to seeing dead animals. Like it doesn't make me feel good to see a smushed animal on the side of the road. But again, life and death are beautiful in my opinion. And it does signify a really big shift. Like death is an ending of a cycle and a beginning of a new cycle. And so whatever it is we were talking about was significant. It was like a really big like punch in my awareness, like boom, oh, that thing I just said was important. And it was kind of shocking almost. So I feel like it can go
well on that note, and very well said. Thank you for sharing that. On that note, here's something that you may or may have not seen that is kind of a double synchronicity around this topic.
Okay. I'm
Let me
ready.
Pull up the
a surprise, y'all.
There we go. Okay. There we go. What does that look like to you? First of all, isn't that beautiful?
It's beautiful. I'm seeing so many layers.
Well,
I can't.
It was posted with the title Aurora Dragon.
Ooh. Of course.
And it looks like a dragon.
Grumpy dragon is walking around the house right now.
That's honestly one of the most beautiful photos of the Aurora Borealis that I've ever
seen. I can see the dragon now.
Yeah. You can see the wings and the head and the tail. Like that is one of the best pictures I've ever seen.
It's beautiful.
It's gorgeous.
It's probably up in Finland or somewhere awesome where they get to see them basically every day.
Yeah. So, ready for the next thing?
I'm ready.
All right. So, okay. Here's our first link of the day.
Okay.
From Live Science. To find intelligent alien life, humans may need to start thinking like an extraterrestrial. Now, I thought we had shared this already. Oh, wait. There we go. I thought we had shared this already, but I guess we hadn't. I think we shared a very similar one talking about alien life and kind of getting more into the philosophical sides of alien life. And I find this particularly interesting because it's very true. And it really makes us understand where... Sorry, we're a little distracted. Our little dragon over here is walking around doing things. It's making people further question the true intelligence and multidimensionality of alien life, I think. Because for the longest time, the scientific kind of dogma with alien life is that if we do find alien life, it's going to be something like microbial life. And to me, that is one of the biggest cons of our entire matrix system on this Earth. As most of us know, alien life has been here for much longer than we have. Mm. Alien life is, well, there's a vast
History
array.
History Channel has a whole show about it that's been going for like 11 seasons. So
there's a vast array of alien life. But when you think about the kind of life that would have been here before us, we're talking about truly higher dimensional intelligence. And so to have a mainstream science page like Live Science start to dive into the philosophic ideas of thinking like an extraterrestrial to actually find them, I think that is very telling of the times that we're in with disclosure at the moment. So that's why I wanted to share that.
It is a bit of a shift in the perspective, which is good because I find that they want to keep the perspective more homebound and that we are by ourselves and that we are, you know, we are locked to this planet. And then to ask you to move into that state of, you are the cosmic traveler. Where would you go? What would you be looking for? I feel like a lot of people need to take plant medicines like, you know, psilocybin or mushrooms or ayahuasca or all these things. They go into the jungle and then they can finally break out of that earthbound sort of consciousness and expand and feel that they are possibly an extraterrestrial or that there is life. So much life outside of us, and it's just nice that it's even these simple questions can also bring you to these states of expansion, and it's breaking out of kind of the mental slavery that I think is really going to be a thing of the past in this generation, which is really exciting because somehow they managed to keep us in the dark, like as a collective, for quite a while, but. Now with weirdos like us coming on the planet and talking about stuff, there's enough of us now, I think.
What are you going to do? It's bound to happen.
We come in peace.
Cosmic consciousness, yeah. Cosmic consciousness. All right, the next thing.
Ooh, I like this one.
Is about the Australian fires revealing an ancient water system that was built long before the pyramids. The Bujbim cultural landscape has long been regarded as a marvel of ancient engineering. The sprawling water system in southeastern Australia was built more than 6,000 years ago, long before even the Egyptian pyramids took shape. Ancient inhabitants of the region, called Dwawarud Wurrung or Guntijmara, forgive me, devised the system of channels, weirs, and dams as an extraordinary complex trap for the eels that locals depended on for food. UNESCO recognizes Bujbim as a World Heritage Site today, but few suspected the aquatic system ran so far and so deep. So to me, this is a testament of the beauty that comes out of destruction sometimes. The organization and rebirth that comes out of chaos. And this is truly rebirth because this is something that was born once, was covered up over thousands of years, and has now been born again through something that was seemingly a very horrific event. And the Australian fires were just like the Amazon fires, but we also know that there was a lot of misinformation around both. I'm not saying that they didn't happen. They very much did happen. But it's good to have a silver lining on these kind of things. It's good to go back to that classic understanding of like, when the forest is burned down, it will regrow. And in this case, you may find some hidden treasures along the way too. So I thought that was pretty neat. Our dog's coughing up a lung over here. We gave him the CBD. He was calm. Now it's wearing off, and now he thinks it's playtime. He's running around, throwing his toy around.
He's trying to eat our cactus, too.
He just really, really wants to be on the show.
Water system. What do you know that we don't know? You're so wise. Tell us your secrets.
All right.
Good boy.
So.
Go lay down.
Moving on to
there he goes.
One of the bigger topics that we wanted to get into today.
Uh-huh.
The other day, well, yesterday as of this moment, but by the time this comes out, I think it will be the other day, the White House held a summit on human trafficking.
Yes.
And
it was awesome.
Yes.
I mean, in my opinion. And human trafficking in particular has been one of my main focuses, I would say, as being in the disclosure community and as a humanitarian person. Ever since I was a young girl, my mother would tell me about human trafficking, basically to warn me about it. Again, I think I've told this story, but I'm very grateful that she told me about it, as scarring in a way that it was to my innocence, which, you know, was rough and it was hard, especially as an empath, to like imagine and re-feel what my mom was telling me was happening to these people, to feel it in my body and to realize that this is somebody's life and their potential. And before my real spiritual awakening, it was very hard for me to understand. And so I was shocked also that it was clear to me as I began researching more and more, and synchronistically stuff coming into my awareness. You know, I can't look at everything, but what does come in, I find, has been important. And I've seen that a lot of the systems that have been in place, like for adoption or for any other type of assistance, for even schools or after school programs, or even, you know, church programs and things like that, were areas where there were assaults going on and also trafficking and so on. And it was horrifying to know that the systems that people trusted and that were ingrained into these countries, into modern countries, were also used as kind of like a guise or a smokescreen for other agendas. And it was disgusting to me that something like that would happen, but I don't think that way. But I've now come to learn how these beings think, what their goals are in a way, and it's helped me kind of suss out where and what's going on, and to know that, as mentioned in this speech, that the government, so on, has not really had a huge push to keep really tight lock and key over this. Like, there are systems, there are people working towards this every single day, but they weren't getting the funding, they weren't getting the attention. And what was happening to the survivors? Like, I went into psychology to help survivors of this stuff, but even when I was learning and going into that phase, I didn't feel ready to take on somebody who had been trafficked or had been sexually assaulted or whatnot as a child, because I'm empathically, I felt like I couldn't handle that information and be professional and hold that space for them, because I would just feel their pain and I would cry and I would not be able to be strong for them. Now that I'm a little older, I feel like I can do that more, and I have done that, and I've talked to people. And in the disclosure community, there's a lot of people who have gotten their children taken away by social services unjustly, who have been trafficked and who have experienced and seen these things, and being either in the military or in government programs, and that's why they had to leave, because they were corrupt. And that's why the people I've met who've talked about this, who've been in these programs, they were also excited to see that, like, Trump and Ivanka, like both the Trumps, Donald Trump and Ivanka Trump, have been created and have moved forward and continually pushed this matter publicly, which is first time I've really seen that happening. And then I watched these people come up on the podium who are in these positions, who are pushing new efforts to counteract and shut down websites. They're like, we're shutting down these websites. They're trying to go through Facebook and Instagram now to quit or not allow end-to-end encryption, like end-to-end encryption and so on. And, you know, child pornography that's all over the place, and these platforms are being used to traffic and so on. And there really are, and they really seem, and as an empath, again, that's all I have is my ability to really sense. And I feel these people, and they feel hope, and they feel excited, and they feel like warriors of the light. They feel like they're accomplishing something. And now they've even created a position in the White House for this particular cause and this reason to keep tabs and to work on it. And I think my favorite part of the whole thing was in the beginning when they said that, I don't know if you mind scrolling down a little bit on the...
Yes, let me pull it up.
On the actual, because this is the script, and it says, he mentioned that my administration, because it's true, it really is a lot of other people and not Trump specifically working on this, like that makes sense to me, but he's giving them what they need with his abilities and power to do these things, in my opinion. And he said, my administration is 100% committed to eradicating human trafficking from Earth. And this hit me really hard. And I think near the end as well, there was a line similar to that, like, it's all going to be taken care of. Like, the goal is to get rid of it all. And human trafficking on Earth was powerful to me because, again, here we're going to go on another tangent, but we are followers of whistleblowers who talk about secret space programs. Believe it or not, we are getting a space force. We're getting space military disclosure now and being it brought to the public. But there has been stories and knowledge that trafficking is not only international, very deeply, and for many reasons, scientific or religious and so on, but it's potentially off-planet as well. And that might be a little out there for all of you, but if you've probably, you may have heard this before, but it's interesting to me the way that it was worded because it made me think about that. And who knows how many years it's going to take for this to be public knowledge, but it's possible that there are trafficking going on, not only on our planet, but off our planet.
And you just took it real deep.
And I went there. I really did. And it made me think about that. And that's not what I thought of when I saw this, when I was excited about the live stream.
Well, he did make a comment, something about trafficking on Earth, right? Wasn't there a comment
it's
in here?
At the top. It's like the first thing you said.
Was that what we already highlighted?
Yeah, it was. It was 100% committed to eradicating human trafficking from the Earth.
From the Earth.
Which is very interesting wording.
Right, because naturally that would be kind of redundant, right? If there wasn't deeper meaning to that.
But yeah, from the Earth instead of on the Earth.
So the other thing that he said in here that really stuck out to me when we were listening to it, and when we were listening to this, we were on the edge of our chair because this has never, ever happened from any other administration.
Not
and you have to ask
life.
Why. Well,
I don't think ever.
Not that I've ever seen or ever heard of has an administration gone after human trafficking this hard. And you really have to ask why. And he kind of alludes to that too. He says that there's a lot of other countries that do a lot of talk, that talk about fixing the trafficking
and
problems and then have no action.
Yeah.
They talk the talk, but they don't walk anything. And that's really telling too, because he's alluding to that these groups, administrations, foreign administrations, are actually perpetuating it. And as many people know, the United Nations is very much involved, or I should say factions of the United Nations. I'm not going to generalize. Factions of the United Nations are involved in human trafficking. It's a reason why Trump has gone up to the United Nations and been totally like on the defense and offense with them, because the United Nations has also come after Trump real hard because he's actually working to end human trafficking. Anyway, one of the quotes in here that really stuck out to me is he said, I will not stop until we've arrested every last human trafficker and liberated every last survivor.
Yeah.
And when he said that, the chills through my body.
Yes.
Man, like the intuitive chills. Like, he's not just talking the talk. He is literally walking the walk.
And Mike Pence said some really firm things too about basically it is your right from creator.
Yeah.
To have your liberty.
Right. Yep. And after that speech, we were both feeling like really pumped and really inspired. And I went online and made a post about it and talked about how inspiring it was. And I made a comment that I love the president because of this. And the amount of people that came at me for saying that and attacked me, attacked my character, attacked what they think I believe in, was like insane. I really didn't expect it to be that deep. It's crazy how much true love can trigger the darkness and the hate in people. And people don't even realize it sometimes, especially around this topic. People have so much hate for Trump because they've been programmed from the beginning to hate him. And it's really an experience to watch that bubble up in people, because people genuinely, I realize, don't understand how a good, loving person could support Trump and what he's doing. It's just like the cognitive dissonance is so heavy. It doesn't even click. They're like, wait, this person, they seem like a good person, but they support Trump? Like, how doesn't compute, you know? And I saw a lot of that.
It is hard to especially watch the people who care about you and, you know, are interested in you and are having a hard time understanding why you could possibly love something after we've had such an intense emotional experience watching this live stream. And I've watched a billion things on the internet. You know, I'm not just like some, you know, naive person. Again, like I mentioned, I know about the dark shit that's happened. And I've heard from firsthand from many people the type of torture that they've been through. And it's hard. It's hard for me. And it's impressioned on my soul and on my heart. And it's been a part of what I want to do on this planet is bring light and conversation to this. And so to have it publicly talked about like this is such a huge win for me in my life. And it may not be perfect and it may not be exactly right. And it could be like playing the advocate here. It could be the most evil thing to just make a position like this and do a whole show and then continue to do nothing. And I don't feel that that's what's going on. It's a possibility. Like if they were going to continue being evil, like that would be a good move maybe, but I really don't feel that this is an evil thing. I am optimistic about this being and bringing this to the public, bringing participation. I want to participate in this. If I could right now go into those meetings and actually see what was going on, I feel like it would make me feel even better knowing exactly who these people are, how they all each made me feel, if they feel passionate. But the people who went up there, they felt passionate to me. They actually had somebody who had been trafficked to the United States speak, and she is now on at the council of survivors who are making efforts to be like, hey, this happened to me. Let's look into this area. Hey, this happened to me. This is who and what and how. And maybe thinking of things that as somebody who'd never been trafficked before wouldn't have thought of. And that kind of collaboration is also empowering to me. And so not only do, in a way, love Trump because his name is on the top of the administration, he's signing these bills and positions into power that are supposed to be helping this effort. But we also love the people who are doing this, the people who are scouring the websites and taking down child pornography and trafficking and torture and all this horrible stuff that I never want to see. But there's people out there who have committed their lives to do this. And I know, I mean, those people exist too. And what I would want to expand upon what's going on here is to hear more from those people directly. I think that would be a really smart decision and direction. And I would personally love to talk to somebody. And if you are also an experiencer or a survivor and you want to share, I know that's a lot to ask, but in the comments, if you would be willing to share that, that'd be great. And I hold space for that. And I truly feel for you, and I feel like it is an empowering thing for you to have this experience so you may bring the light to this, what's going on. And you maybe dived into the shadows here so you could show us that these shadows exist, because we young, you know, naive inner children are not thinking about these really twisted, dark possibilities. But some of us are strong enough and feel inspired enough to do this work. And I'm just grateful that it seems, and I'm going to hold it all accountable. I'm going to continue pushing this no matter what. Every country, all the time, I'm going to be pushing this and watching this and doing my part in my community in any way that I can think of. And if it comes up to me again, like, I'm going to do it. And I'm serious about this. And so it's good that, you know, we loved what this was. It's okay to feel love. It's okay to, in my opinion, be excited about this. And the excitement is only going to make it more accountable. It's going to bring more consciousness and focus on this. And there's a lot of issues that need to be covered, I'm not saying, but I believe that this is definitely one of the darkest and most evil. And that's where I want to go, because it's just going to keep crawling around and putting my future children and all of my beloved friends and family and all these other babies that I watch on TikTok and everybody in, I want to put them in a safer place, and whatever I can do to make it happen, I'm going to do it. And so, you know, I want to encourage all of our friends and family watching this to know that's where we're coming from. And it's passion. Beautiful. I'm like getting emotional.
That was very beautiful. Very well said. It's, you should get emotional.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people have a disconnection to this stuff because, well, naturally, we haven't experienced it, most of us ourselves, like this level of horror.
Yeah.
And so there's a cognitive disconnect when it comes to actually empathizing with these kind of things. And I know growing up that I knew human trafficking was real, but your to mom. Me, it, yeah, my mom even helped bust a human trafficking ring in California. And so I knew it was real, but it never hit home until I really started diving into the depth of it and really, like, speaking the truth, human trafficking is a very, it's just, that's just the tip of the iceberg.
Yes.
That's just a vague statement when it comes to the depth and horror of the crimes that are being committed by these people who are political criminal organizations, like well-known companies that are involved in this kind of stuff, well-known nonprofits that are involved, like establishments from all aspects of life are involved in this horror. One, because it makes a lot of money, but two is because it's deeply rooted into the occult.
Gang violence.
It's deeply rooted into satanic ritual abuse. And those things are very much a part of how you get to the top when it comes to fame and wealth, securing those kind of things through these establishments. That's what they do. And we're finding that out with Epstein. I mean, and Epstein is just one of many who were doing this kind of thing. So, to me...
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
They mentioned in the speech, too, how prolific it was and how now looking into it, it is so everywhere. And
yeah,
like every community, basically, they were saying in every country, and that this is a huge project to take on. But they are doing it, and they did have progress, and they signed in a new thing, like a new position in the White House.
Yep.
A point person, I think, about this. And
it's a fact that the Trump administration has done more than any other administration, even within just the first year of the administration, has done more than any other administration towards human trafficking. More arrests, more busting of crime rings. Last year in 2019, the DOJ took down the biggest child porn website on the internet that we know of. So like stuff is happening, and I've seen a lot of people who just have that straight up cognitive dissonance say, well, you must be dumb if you think Trump is really doing this stuff, because Trump isn't a good person. So it's just a front. And it's really crazy to me that people think that, like, the programming is so strong in people to hate Trump that they can't even see that the dark is being taken out, and they're not even observing it.
Well, I'm excited that people are feeling more like they want to hold other people to really high standards and high accountability. And in hope, and in my hope is that they're holding themselves to the same standards and accountability. But if you know, despite who and what, I think the most important thing is that it is being nationally talked about. And I do not remember a time when it was being nationally talked about like this ever.
Yeah. There was never a human trafficking awareness month. Trump made that. There was never a summit at the White House about it. It's so just, it hasn't happened. And you have to ask why.
It doesn't make sense to me that he would be a heavy perpetrator of this type of thing and begin and signing things that would put him in jail technically. And unfortunately, all of the conspiracies and all of the proof and so on about other political people who are involved in this type of stuff are still not in jail is confusing to me personally. But I don't know all about the due process and so on. But I'm not going to stop until, you know, I'm not going to stop looking into this and talking about this until these people are brought to justice and that their victims are, you know, survivors, I should say, are given the platform to talk about it and so on, and that this balance can come back to our world. We want to be safe. We want to feel safe, and there's no reason why, and I don't think most people would ever attack another person or enslave or molest or whatever, eat another person. No. And so there is some type of sickness. There is some type of virus in a way in our society.
Q always says these people are sick.
They are. There's a sickness going on. And truly, no matter who and what they are, there, I have hope for them too. And they're likely or potentially also in a cycle. They've experienced the abuse. They are also survivors in a way and perpetrators themselves. And I believe this is how this type of thing continues on. And we're trying to break this cycle, and it's not going to be clean, in my opinion. They're trying to make it as clean as possible, but it's a messy place. And I'm holding space and patience for the people who are involved and who are trying, because I feel like that's all I can really, I want to hold them accountable. I want to hold space. And I believe that that's what I can do to help in this time. And I might be naive, I might be young and stupid, I don't know, but I feel from my heart that it's the right thing to do, and that's what I'm gonna do right now until I know better.
Beautiful. I think another thing that people tend to bring up when it comes to Epstein, because people agree that Epstein is a horror and that we were deceived for so long, I think it's pretty universal in understandings, but I see a lot of people who haven't really looked into it that much, that only really listen to, like, you know, the mainstream media say, well, Trump rubs shoulders with Epstein all the time, you know? And there is like one or two pictures of Trump with Epstein, sure, but Trump never went
on the island.
Trump never went to Epstein Island.
It's not in the
record. Bill Clinton went to Epstein Island over 20 times. Like, what does that tell you? Trump's never been there. I just saw a clip the other day of, actually it was in this new Q video that was really awesome, that maybe I'll link down below, but it was a clip of Trump saying in 2015, before he was president, he was asked, what do you think about Bill Clinton? And he says, well, yeah, you know, he's an okay guy, but I think he's got a lot of trouble coming up for him with that island, that Epstein Island. And back then people didn't really know what he was talking about, but he knew, like, they really knew what was going on, I think, from the beginning. And this goes into the whole idea about who Q is and what the alliance is, and this group of white hats that have been working within military intelligence since the presidency of JFK. There's been a shadow civil war going on to get these people out of power. Probably what?
It's probably been happening way before then.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
Just to input that.
So, yeah, heavy, but like stuff we really need to talk about. So ultimately, I'm really glad to see that we have a president that is purposefully and directly going after this stuff, and there's tangible evidence behind it. It's not just talk. So yeah, anything else you want to say on that before we move on?
Yeah, it makes me hopeful, and I like to, you know, I'm also being discerning, in my opinion. I'm watching. I want it to continue. I want to see some results. I want them to do better and show us some results physically. Like, I want to hear from survivors and so on. But also me talking about this right now, but what I want in the future, I feel like is rippling out into the collective consciousness and to the timelines that I want to align with. And that's why, I mean, I want to align with the timeline where this works and we do eradicate this from the planet, because I believe it's possible.
And ultimately, I believe
that's why I was born.
Yeah. Yes.
It's weird, but it's true. And it's hard to deny that aspect of myself. So this aligns with what I wanted in the timeline I wanted. So I'm going to pump love into that timeline and also, you know, what I can.
Shouldn't we want the timeline where Trump is fighting for the light and not try to create the timeline where he has hidden darkness in him?
And
ultimately, the truth will be exposed, I believe,
yeah,
no matter what. And anybody who's guilty of these crimes will have justice served. I have no doubt of that. Whoever it is, whether they're people we thought were good and they weren't, justice will be served on a multidimensional level. So I'm not nervous about hidden darkness getting away and not coming to the light. So,
me too.
Another interesting tidbit on this was that during this summit on human trafficking, there was a security breach at Trump's Mar-a-Lago facility in Florida hours before Trump was scheduled to arrive at the Mar-a-Lago facility. And this is from CNN. I find this very interesting because when I read this, when it was first breaking, the article was totally different. The details were totally different. And now when I've reloaded it today, they've totally rewritten the story of it, which, you know, is classic CNN.
Oh, really?
Classic fake news. Yeah. Oh, they said two people were arrested before. They said there were multiple shots fired by both deputies and Secret Service. And then they didn't really give any more information on that because the Secret Service was keeping it quiet. And now they've changed some details. They say one woman was arrested and that she was just intoxicated and it was an accident. And she somehow just drove through Secret Service and local security police. Which,
that's two very drastic differences.
Very and fishy.
Isn't that, am I wrong to say that the Super Bowl is also in Miami?
Yes.
Is that wrong? Okay, and then they also mentioned in the human trafficking thing that, hey, the Super Bowl is this weekend, and that is classically one of the highest human trafficking events in our country. They mentioned that. Why would they do that if they wanted it to continue, you know?
And to hold the summit on the same weekend as that event.
Yes, to make it relevant right with the biggest issued event, and then be like, we are going to do what we can and our best to, like, mitigate this issue. And then again in Miami there was an attack at least maybe not anymore, there's no proof of an attack, I don't know, but it was at the point.
Now it's just a drunk woman who happened to get past Secret Service.
An attack directly on Trump's property
hours before he was going to arrive there.
Yes, which,
like, is that not a direct, at least, like, psychic attack?
Some weird, yeah. So just food for thought, we noticed these things happening together. Oh my god,
I apologize for all the crazy crashing you may hear in the background. Our son decided to be his most
vivacious
self.
Bolsterous.
He gets jealous when we're filming because we're not paying attention to him, and then he does things to try to get our attention.
Yeah.
I'm sure many of you can relate to that.
Every parent ever.
With children and dogs.
Cats. Guinea pigs, birds, everybody. We're popular, you know. Adult humans are, our attention is gold.
So, real quick,
okay,
just a note for us. I see our audio levels picking up on each other's mics a lot. So, I know this is something that we are
facing you a lot.
Yeah, so. I know you keep facing me and projecting, which
gotta,
is
like, turn
cool.
And just look over here. Talk to this wall.
We're gonna get this audio thing down. I know. I'm sorry if there's like the echo. We're trying to work on that. It's hard when the mics are so close, but we're going to find a solution. So moving forward, the next thing we're going to get into is Kobe Bryant and his death. And
can I start?
Yeah, please take it away.
Okay. So Kobe Bryant, as many of you may know, is a basketball star.
Wait, what?
Who is retired.
He what? No, I'm just kidding.
He was an American basketball star who people idolized a lot for his work ethic. And we, Jason and I, that day were hiking in the Red Rocks with three other lovely male friends of ours. And I was thinking about, you know, why were we having this beautiful day with these dudes that I have never, you know, they've never met up before. They've come from all different directions. It just so happened that we all ended up together that day, hiking together. And it was a beautiful day. And we were looking at crystals in the riverbed and having great conversation. And it was very activating and uplifting. And also, I was thinking a lot about how the divine masculine, and these, all three of these dudes look like they could have been athletes. They're all pretty tall. Anyways, but yeah, they look like they could be brothers. And yeah, it was very activating. And I was like, wow, the divine masculine today in my life has been very strong, and it's very balanced and healthy and enjoyable. And I'm really happy to be with these people. And also, I really am excited for them to share their lives and see where they grow and bring in a divine feminine for themselves. And I think about this stuff all the time, like everybody we end up with and the patterns and things. I'm always watching because I feel very, you know, connected with my daily life and the patterns that are going on as a spiritual person. And I hold a lot of respect to what I do spend my time with. And I think doing these walks are very sacred, and it was just very beautiful. And so we were out of range of our phones and everything. And as soon as we got into range of our phones, Jace received a text from his father that Kobe Bryant had died in a helicopter crash. And unfortunately, his young daughter too. And it was shocking to everybody in the car, obviously, because we were just in this, you know, euphoria, and then this text come in. Like, we hadn't even gotten on the internet yet. It was a text, and it was just like, boom, like, just, you hit a wall, right, when you hear something like that. And all of our minds are racing 100 miles a minute. And for me personally, I don't want to say I rolled my eyes, but I kind of had this feeling of defeat in a way, and like, ugh. Like, I sigh, like, wow, this is psychologically very impactful to the collective, what this is. And highlighting this death, which, you know, when you think of an aircraft death, it's such a classic move, in my opinion, to kill people, or as this, you know, tragic death. I feel like so many tragic deaths, like, and of these celebrities have been in aircrafts.
Well, real quick, one thing that Q has said multiple times and over the past 2 years is that 7 out of 10 aircraft collisions and crashes are not accidents, which is a very interesting bit of information when you start to look into a lot of these especially celebrity air crashes and deaths around crashes.
And deaths, you know, happen all the time. People are constantly passing over, and a helicopter crash is very extra and very out there and very rare in a way. Most people are not riding around in helicopters. But to highlight this athlete, somebody who was glorified in a lot of ways versus many, many other wonderful people in the world, in something that is organized sport, which, you know, back to the Roman Forum and before that with the gladiators, they say that sports were a way to keep the masses and the society from fighting the power, and they would fight each other and kind of release that aggression, and it would be in a way of a way of a distraction. So I have a lot of feelings about these celebrities who are athletes. I have nothing wrong, there's nothing wrong with being an athlete. I was an athlete. But the level and of extremeness that and celebrity status that these people go to and get to is I think bolstering this machine of distraction and also of privatization of sport for people, because sport is also a great outlet for, you know, your physical and mental health. And so it's just, there's a lot of, like, the sports industry is not perfect. And like I said, it's an ancient practice almost in a way to distract the masses from their own slavery and their own disempowerment. So,
well, that's literally how they used it in ancient Rome and, yeah, and Babylon. It was, they were distractions.
So, of course, with not, it doesn't matter who it was. It didn't matter to me who it was in a way. Personally, just didn't matter to me who it was personally in a way. I was just like, wow, this is impactful. People are going to be talking about this. What is this distracting us from? Which could have been the impeachment. I don't know. Possibly something else.
Well, before we get into any kind of speculation, we're going to be presenting a lot of information that we've gathered around different anomalies around Kobe Bryant's life and death. And as far as the respect of this being, I know a lot of people think that it is disrespectful to investigate or to question deaths of celebrities, especially. And I just want to preface that by saying that I think it's disrespectful not to seek the truth in whatever context and to put up a mental block because you think seeking truth is disrespectful, I think is a form of cognitive dissonance. Said that word a couple times tonight, but it's true. And so
I also think the daughter, especially like an innocent 13-year-old girl, you know, yeah, as a 13-year-old, you don't really rack up a bunch of evil or anything horrible. And she does deserve this. I think just that she was killed possibly deserves an investigation and looking deeper as to maybe why there's a possibility that this could have been a murder. Or if it was just an accident and something horrible happened, again, I think it's important to look into it because now a family is minus two people and they have three more daughters and a widow now left behind. And, you know, it's hard. But there's so many families out there who go through these types of deaths and they don't get national coverage. So it's just, it's kind of hard sometimes for me to be like, but we looked into it. Of course, Jace looked into it. The huge community we're in looked into it. And a lot of stuff did surface. A lot of symbolism surfaced. A lot of interesting things that may allude to why and who and what is going on. So we wanted to share that with you, this stuff we gathered, just because we want your opinion on it. We want to have a conversation. And this is what came our way. So
yeah,
I just thought I'd preface with that too.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And again, careful with your microphone because you keep talking right at me.
I just love looking at you and talking. I got to figure out. We need like a whole screen or like a sound wall between us. Like, let's just get a big piece of plexiglass.
I'm just going to give you the sign. When I go like this, it means that I'm seeing the, because I can see the,
I know,
the sound bites on here going up and down. I'm so sorry, I'm just going to go like this when I notice that mine's getting really loud when you're talking.
I guess we'll figure it out. We're getting better. It's all thank you to, again, all the people who have donated and supported us on Patreon, because we are just going to reinvest into this and maybe make this less annoying for you guys. Also,
yeah, the production value is going to get better and better. But anyway, I want to go back to Kobe because I don't want to pay disrespect to that.
Of course.
But again, I think it's respectful to encourage seeking truth in any context, especially deaths of celebrities. And yeah, with that said, let's just start to get into some of the anomalies, we'll say, that came forward when people started investigating this. So the first being, this is from USA Today. Google search for when did Kobe Bryant die no longer lists January 26th as date of assassination. So for the first day or so, when people Googled date of Kobe Bryant's death, it literally said date of assassination.
Yes.
And they, USA Today,
that's talks pretty fishy.
It is pretty fishy. And USA Today reached out to Wikipedia to ask why, because people, you know, people point out that Wikipedia can be edited by anybody, but not the Google result that comes up. That can't be edited by anybody. That's something that Wikipedia actually chooses. So when asked, Wikipedia responded, well, first they said they couldn't be immediately reached for comment. Actually, maybe in this article they don't even say, but I saw another quote from Wikipedia where they basically said that the details when it was first coming out were unclear, and so they published what they were initially hearing as the details around his death, and that happened to be that he was assassinated. So that's very fishy to begin with, and then for it to get USA Today front page, you know, coverage, to me is pointing towards that there was an anomaly here, and that that his death was not an accident. And so let's move on to the next thing. I want to start by kind of the biggest thing that jumped out to me regarding Kobe's life, which is his connections to Jeffrey Epstein.
Right.
And I don't know if a lot of people know this, but I'm going to show you how Kobe was indirectly connected with Jeffrey Epstein. And so this article is from 2016, August of 2016. Kobe Bryant and Jeff Stibel unveil $100 million venture capital fund. Cool, right? You know, if you saw that, you know, 3 years ago, you probably wouldn't think too much about it. Kobe's a pretty popular guy. He's constantly working on projects with people. Like, it's not that alarming on the surface.
And it says it's to investigate technology, media, and data companies.
Investigate technology, media, and data companies. So who is Jeff Stibel? Well, he was previously the president and CEO of Web.com, NASDAQ company, general manager of United Online, founder and CEO of Simply.com. So, you know, entrepreneur, venture capitalist, the kind of person that wealthy people rub shoulders with. But what's important is the organization that he served on, and it's called the Lifeboat Foundation. I know it's cutting it off a little bit here. There we go. The Lifeboat Foundation, Safeguarding Humanity. So looking into the Lifeboat Foundation, their about page, their mission statement says, "The Lifeboat Foundation is a nonprofit, non-governmental organization dedicated to encouraging scientific advancements while helping humanity survive existential risks and possible misuse of increasingly powerful technologies, including genetic engineering, nanotechnology, and robotics/AI, as we move towards the singularity." Now, that's a mouthful, and that's pretty deep within itself.
That's a lot of stuff.
The Lifeboat Foundation is pursuing a variety of options, including helping to accelerate the development of technologies to defend humanity, such as new methods to combat viruses, effective nanotechnological defensive strategies, and even self-sustaining space colonies in case the other defensive strategies fall. So that's a lot. Like, this isn't your normal organization. This is
Whenever I see nanotechnology, I'm like, oh.
Especially groups that want to control how that is evolving, right? So to make this even more weird, guess who else was on the advisory board of the Lifeboat Foundation? None other than Jeffrey Epstein. So Epstein and Stibel are on this Lifeboat Foundation that is working with eugenics, genetic engineering, nanotechnology, AI, robotics, and AI, and accepting the singularity, which is the idea that we will merge fully with machines, transhumanism, that we will reach a singularity of all-knowing in a sense. It's basically it's kind of the technological viewpoint of getting to source consciousness, but from an AI.
That's a clickable link. Would you mind clicking that for me? Just to see, like, what it actually says, because I agree with... Oh, yeah, okay. Technological singularity.
Is a hypothetical future point in time at which technological growth becomes uncontrollable and irreversible, resulting in unforeseeable changes to human civilization. Now, if you're not aware, this is literally what we would call the New World Order or the Cabal or the Dark secret societies that run things. That is their goal, is transhumanism. And my kind of natural opposition to transhumanism is that we have these innate abilities within us, and the things that people are seeking to do with transhumanism, we can actually already do with our innate metaphysical abilities that have been dormant and suppressed genetically. You know, we have 98% of our DNA that is junk DNA. How does that make any sense? Like, there, you know, people that have done psychedelics understand that there are dimensions beyond our own that we can communicate with, and that when on certain substances, natural substances and unnatural, we can interface with different realms of reality and different dimensions, and we actually have conscious telepathic abilities when we're in those realms. And so to get back to this,
and in this realm,
yeah,
like,
uh-oh, what did we do there?
I think this camera turned off.
Oh no, shut off. All right, let me go fix that real quick.
Singularity was upset.
Okay, you talk about that
for
a second.
They didn't like that. Yes. So we brought some evidence forward that Kobe and this guy, Jeff, who is on the lifeboat, you know, group. Epstein was also in the lifeboat group. You know, again, that's not a direct, you know, you're not saying that, you know, Kobe is not in the lifeboat group. It didn't say that. But to be working a $100 million venture capital fund for investing in technology and data companies and so on, it kind of implies that they are working on a similar project. So there is a connection there. It's not very far removed. And so if you're an innocent person and a person who I personally want to hang out with, you aren't going to be working on putting nanotechnology in people. That's just not something I want to do, not something I agree with. And if I was just chilling and that's what Kobe was talking about, I'd be like, well, I disagree with you on that. But I also didn't know that your coworkers were also had an island for people who want to have sex with children and do weird rituals and so on. And that's kind of messed up. Thank you. Jace is doing a really quick fix here, but so that's rough. It's rough to see, it's rough to digest. I want to know what you guys feel about that, but we're gonna get even deeper into this, and so we're just gonna take a little bit of a mood break. I'm gonna sip my tea and maybe I'm gonna sage a little bit, because this isn't even the beginning. Like, they're really, things are gonna get a little bit weirder with the connections and symbolisms that we found about Kobe. And again, these things may be getting revealed to us and on some divine plan, and this was some divine thing where his death would reveal these truths and these other people doing these crazy things. And in a way, I'm grateful. And in a way, his death is not going to be in vain, no matter what, because we are bringing these topics to light and talking about them because of his passing. So in a way, we do respect. You know, I respect that this happened, and we're just gonna keep going.
Our main camera died, so I had to do a swap out real quick. So no more multi-camera angles for the rest of this episode.
I'm sorry.
It's a bummer, but it's no biggie. So the main point that I wanted to get with this Epstein connection was, you know, we're seeing this board that this guy, Jeff Stibel, and Epstein were on. It's dealing with genetic engineering. It's dealing with nanotechnology and AI. And the biggest thing to me is that we know that Epstein was involved with experiments, illegal experiments with prestigious scientists involving eugenics, and essentially that he wanted to genetically engineer a superior race. I don't know if you guys know that, but that's literally fact, like common knowledge. Epstein reportedly hoped to develop super race of humans with his DNA. So with that in context, he's on this advisory board with this guy, and Kobe Bryant happens to unveil $100 million venture capital fund. So these groups rub shoulders with each other. These aren't these aren't just coincidences. These people know what's going on. And so that's kind of the first thing I wanted to point out, because I think it's the most powerful, his connection with Epstein. And
I mean, it could be a really weird coincidence, but
it could be.
And again, everything on these media areas could simply be stories and lies too. So we're using these sources, but we don't trust these sources completely either. Just to, I'm not trying to like break down your argument or your data here, but I'm also trying to keep, you know, where we're at. We know that these news outlets and so on are not always honest. So
it's, yeah, but it's also
we're working with what we have.
It's also, it's fact. Like it's, mm-hmm. it's accepted by everybody. I don't think there's anybody who's arguing on any level, on any side, that Epstein wasn't involved in these types of things. I mean, he's been criminally held responsible for it. Like it's pretty solid fact.
Well, there you go.
And the fact that the fake news is posting it, to me, solidifies even more that it's fact, because we know that it's true outside of them, and then the fake news is actually verifying it. So, trying to see what I want to get into next here. So one of the other connections that Kobe had was with Bill Clinton.
I haven't seen this.
Kobe worked with Bill Clinton and the Clinton Foundation on a youth panel. Former President Bill Clinton and NBA star Kobe Bryant will lead a panel on kids and sports at a conference next month. Now, you know, anytime the Clinton Foundation is involved with something with kids, it's not good.
Does Bill even play sports?
Well, I'm sure.
I'm just like, why would you want to listen to Bill Clinton as a child? Like, I can't wait to grow up and play basketball like Bill Clinton.
Yeah, topics will include barriers to access, coaching, quality, and safety.
Okay.
Quote, there's so much to be gained, so much from health and fitness, Bryant told Associated Press. Anyway, so...
That's fishy.
So, and this is, you know, posted by ESPN. ESPN was also involved in this, which is owned by Disney, which we've found out also has connections with Epstein. Multiple pedophiles have been arrested at Disney. Disney Cruise Lines, the child cruise line, actually stopped off at one of Epstein's islands. So it's really all tied together. Sorry, that's for the future. So yeah, the connection with Clinton was another thing I wanted to point out. So Epstein, Clinton, wow. Like it's not looking good for Kobe with the people that he's rubbing his shoulders with. Now, at the same time, I want to point out blackmail is a very rampant thing when it comes to these groups. Another thing we've learned from Epstein, something we've learned from Weinstein, something we've learned from Q, is that these groups, especially the ones involved in human trafficking, child sex trafficking, pedophilia, will use blackmail to control people. And essentially what they'll do is that they will drug or force someone into a situation where they are documented abusing a child, and it's the ultimate blackmail, because that's held over your head, and you know, if that were to get out, that would destroy your entire career.
Yes.
Now, some people I do believe are good people at their heart that were blackmailed and then forced essentially to be prisoners.
Well, that's kind of how you do it to good people.
Yeah, to good people. But what I'm saying is that some of these people aren't inherently bad. Some of them definitely are. Some of them choose to be involved in this stuff. Other people accidentally get wrapped up in it. So I want to give Kobe the benefit of the doubt in that case. He could be blackmailed by these groups. He could be blackmailed by Epstein. Usually that's how it works
so
in any case.
And so many other people in those levels or higher echelons of celebrity-ness. It's probably a very common issue.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, okay. So, moving forward, one of the other anomalies around his death was that his death was actually reported as a hoax 2 or 3 days before he actually died. Let's see. Quote, at about 11 a.m. Eastern Time on Friday, our beloved basketball player Kobe Bryant passed away. Kobe Bryant was born on August 23rd, 1978 in Philadelphia. He will be missed but not forgotten. Please show your sympathy and condolences for commenting on and liking this page. So that was January 24th, 2020, that rumor was posted, which was 2 days before his death. Let's see. He officially died on the 26th. So 2 days before, there were rumors circulating the internet that he had died, right? So already, again, things are looking a little suspicious around his death.
Right.
Anything you want to say on that?
Nope. I'm ready for the next one.
Another thing was, so here's, this is a tweets from football player Larry Johnson. Larry Johnson has become, in the past year, very outspoken about the Luciferian secret societies that run most of these cultures, including the NBA, the NFL, most sports, politics, Hollywood. And it's been really awesome to see his tweets, because he's really come forward with talking about his personal experiences with this stuff. And so he retweeted something that a lot of people retweeted, a post from somebody named Noso, pen name, November 13th, 2012, tweeted, "Kobe is going to end up dying in a helicopter crash." Now, that's not necessarily like that weird, because Kobe did travel to and from games in his private helicopter. Like, he was known for doing that. So for somebody to speculate that he was going to die in a helicopter crash could have just been a coincidence. But ultimately, I believe on multidimensional levels, there are no coincidences. So I'm not saying this guy knew he was going to die. In fact, I don't think he did. I think this was probably more of what people would consider a coincidence. But on a multidimensional level, nothing is really a coincidence. Another kind of prediction of this was this cartoon that was made by some kind of Adult Swim type alternative media, not alternative media, but like not a huge
cartoon
show. It was some random cartoon, and it depicted Kobe crashing in his helicopter and dying. And that was, I think, like 3 or 4 years ago. And Larry Johnson posted that. I'm not going to play the actual video because I don't have it up right now. And he quoted his name is Adam Weishaupt. Says Illuminati in parentheses. Now, if you look up Adam Weishaupt, he is literally the creator. He has a Wikipedia page for it and everything. He's the creator of the official Bavarian Illuminati that was formed in 1776. It's a real secret society, real organization called the Bavarian Illuminati. This guy, Adam Weishaupt, was the founder. So Larry Johnson quotes him and says, "Should you seek might, power, false honor, excess, seek that we would work for you to provide temporal advantages. We will bring you as close to the throne as you wish, .. and then turn you over to the consequences of your folly."
Wow.
And again, this is coming from a guy who was deep into this stuff, who saw it firsthand, who's really aware of this kind of stuff.
Larry Johnson?
Yeah. Yeah. Another thing he said was that he pointed out that other people pointed out was that this occurred the day or like the a day, 2 days after LeBron had passed him as third on the all-time scoring list. He says, Larry Johnson says, "This is between secret societies. I'm going to stay out of this one."
Ew.
Yeah. So, and just to kind of support that, this is ESPN on January 25th, LeBron shares his fondest memories of Kobe after passing him on all-time scoring list. Now, isn't that kind of a weird, like, title to start off with? LeBron shares his fondest memories of Kobe. Almost like...
after passing.
Almost like he was already... yeah, after passing. Almost like he was already dead. Or they knew he was going to die. Mm-hmm. And now...